The scripture likens God's people to palm trees. Scripture says they shall flourish like a palm tree. Now, those of us that live here in Florida have watched palm trees be transplanted. What you may not know is that the roots of palm trees go out from that palm tree as far as that tree is tall. And they cut all those roots so that there's only just a little root ball left, and are able to move that palm tree to another location and prop it up until quickly, because palm trees are in the grass family and we are like grass, quickly those palm trees get new roots and become established. In the meantime, they are shored up with wood. You've seen that. From time to time over the years, the Lord has transplanted some of his palm trees. And it's been such a blessing for our church to be able to prop them up until they're able to establish new roots. We have a family with us this morning, the Miller family. The first time Andrew came here was when we were meeting in the clubhouse over in Kingswood. You all remember, some of you remember that. Andrew visited us then. I think that was before you all were married, right? And Andrew and Rodica were soon married after that. They have been faithful members of the church in Crossville, Tennessee for the last 20 years. Or more. Rodica, you've been there longer than that. Rodica grew up there. Donnie Bell's been their pastor. Tristan and Sophie are their children. And they were offered a good opportunity here in Orlando for work. They would not have come had it not been for this church. But all their roots were cut, in a sense. And I want to welcome them and encourage you to do what you can to prop them up until they're able to get some new roots down. Okay, they're wonderful. I believe I've been preaching to them for years going up to Crossville and have known them briefly in visits. But we're thankful when the Lord transplants one of his palm trees here, and pray that we'll be the kind of fellowship and family that will encourage them in their move. So, all right, let's stand together. Tom's going to come and lead us in number 127 in your hardback hymnal, number 127.
Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior, bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood. Sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement, can it be? Hallelujah, what a Savior. Lifted up was he to die, it is finished was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high, hallelujah, what a Savior. When he comes, our glorious King, all his ransomed home to bring, then anew this song we'll sing, Hallelujah, what a Savior.
Please be seated.
For God's call to worship, would you please turn with me to Luke chapter 7. The Lord has impressed upon my heart this week the words of King David. Surely his goodness and his mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And the Lord has to stop me in my tracks and make me remindful of all the things he has done in your life and mine to bring me where we are right now. All the things of this world were designed just to bring us to Christ. And it'll never stop. That's the good news. It'll never stop. I remember that, and I think about that quite often. I hesitate. I'm not sure what to say here. I plead with God what to read. But this morning I hope that the Lord, by his word, will expose one of the greatest lies told in Christianity, so-called Christianity. That we would hear people say, yes, we agree with you, we are saved by grace, but, and I remember as a small boy, I always used to hear, sheep believe in goats, but we still need the law. We need the law after you're saved to restrain sin. And I want us to read in these words that that is a lie from the pit of hell. Because it is denial of the Lord Jesus Christ who has said he is the end of the law. If that were true, then he's not the end. And if we have to do something after we're saved for our salvation, then it's not all of God. And the Lord says to add to or take away is blasphemy. This is blasphemy. And I would challenge you, if you can show me anywhere in scriptures where the Lord has spoken to a believer and said, thy sins are forgiven, and where it showed that they then, after that, run off and plunged headlong. They call it what? Lascivious? I can't even pronounce it, let alone know what it means. Unbridled sin. They'll just sin even more if you tell them they're not under the law. That is a lie. I always want to ask them, I can speak for me, how's that working for you? Has the law kept you from sinning? The law's never kept one person from sinning. But I want us to read about this woman. Verse 37 said, behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. Maybe I'm off. Every day I said, Lord, would you make me a sinner? If God makes you a sinner, you'll know something about your need for Christ. And I agree with brother, it's truth. Being made a sinner is not the cause of your salvation, it's the result of your salvation. And give me the Lord the faith to believe that I am the chief of all sinners. Most people don't believe themselves to be sinners, only the people of God. A sinner, and when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping. God ever makes you a sinner, you know something about weeping also, don't you? Weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. That's what it means to revere God, isn't it? That's, now, you want no reverence? That's reverence. Falling at the feet of Christ in tears. Now, when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, Christ, if he were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he saith, "Master, say on." There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. "Tell me therefore which of them will love him most." And Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he whom he forgave the most." And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon Peter, "You seest this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with oil. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." And he said unto her, "Thy sins are forgiven." But if you believe the Pharisees of the world, then look out, because this woman's just going to go out and go crazy. "And they that sat at meat with him began to say with themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins?" That's what Greg said. Who has this better thing that forgives sins? "And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." You now have peace with God. He who is forgiven much loves much. It is the love of Christ that constraineth our sin. The law can't do that. And I was thinking, I know nowhere in the scripture where I see that, where the Lord says, "Your sins are forgiven. Go in peace," that they show that person. And I thought of, admitting, you know, I don't know who this person is, but I thought Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene, right? The Lord said he delivered seven devils from Mary Magdalene, didn't he? She obviously was a sinner. And then I read on, and it says, when the Lord went to the cross on Calvary or Golgotha, there was two women at his feet when they crucified him. One of them was Mary Magdalene. They said when he said "it is finished" and gave up the ghost, they said there was a group of women that saw it and watched it. And one of them was Mary Magdalene. And when he was put in the grave, the first person to the tomb, scripture says she was the very first, was Mary Magdalene. That doesn't sound like a person who's went lascivious into sin, does it? And when the earthquake came and the stone rolled away, who was the first person that ran back to the believers in the town and said, "He has risen"? Mary Magdalene. No, the law doesn't constrain our sin. The believer is free from the law. It has no claim on us. It is the love of Christ that constrains the sin in our lives. And I'm so thankful for that, because I can tell you, Brother Greg, what you said, I realize I'll stop sinning the day I draw my last breath and the Lord takes me and that old flesh has died. Until then, it's always present with me. That's what David said. We all experience that. That's our... If you're a believer, that's your experience, isn't it? But all thanks to be to God. that we're not under the law. We're under Christ. Let us pray to him and ask him to bless our time together. Lord, we come here this morning agreeing with you that we are sin, nothing but sin. And Lord, we have no righteousness, and we have no hope in anything we can do to atone for any sins, let alone the sins we are. And we confess our need for Christ. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us, that we have a sure hope that Christ has taken the sin of his people and he has paid that debt. Oh, Lord, cause us to rest in you and to believe on and in you. We ask your blessing this morning on the preaching of your gospel, that you would be with Brother Greg and your other gospel preachers, that you would speak through them, that you would give them the ability to organize the thoughts you've given them and to declare Christ and him crucified simply and boldly. And Lord, we pray for your people that you give us the faith to believe what is preached. We especially pray for those that are strangers to your grace and plead with you, Lord, the only one that can save, that you might be pleased to make them willing to come to you, and that we give you all the glory. Amen.
Let's all stand together once again. We'll sing the hymn that's on the back of your bulletin.
To him who found us dead in sin and planted holy life with him, to him that taught our feet the way from endless night to endless day, to him that wrought our righteousness and sanctified us by his grace, to him that brought us back to God through the Red Sea of his own blood, to him who suffered on the tree, blessings and praise and glory be, to cleanse from every sinful stain. Worthy the Lamb, for he was slain. To him that sits upon the throne, the great eternal three in one, to saints and angels raise an everlasting song of praise.
Please be seated. Caleb Hickman's going to bring some special music out.
Thou art, I am eternally, thy covenant fulfilled. Thou hast redeemed, and that thou causeth me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Thou art, I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of my depraved heart, to thee whose blood hath cleansed each spot, O Lamb of God, cause me come, I come. Thou art, I am, not tossed about with one single conflict, one single doubt. Justice thou hast satisfied to the Father devout, O Lamb of God, cause me come, I come. Thou art, I am, made to be sin for thine own elect, and not for all men. All that the Father gave are found perfect in him, O Lamb of God, cause me come, I come. Thou art, I am, thou hast made free, hast welcomed, pardon, cleansed, relief. Because thy promise Christ believed, O Lamb of God, cause me come, I come.
Thank you, Caleb. You improved on the words of that hymn. Actually, it's a good hymn, although we used to sing it in religion to try to manipulate people to come down the aisle. we misused that hymn. I don't know, you know the backstory on that hymn? That the woman that wrote that hymn was invited to dinner by some friends, and the pastor of their church was there, and their whole purpose was to talk to her about Christ. And so in the conversation, the pastor asked her, have you come to Christ? And she made it clear that she didn't want to talk about it, and so he dropped the subject. And a few days later, he ran into her in town, and she said, I've been thinking a long time about what you said. Have I come to Christ? And she said, how do I come? And he answered her question by saying, just like you are. Don't try to clean something up and then come. Just come just like you are, just as I am. Thank you, Caleb. Let's open our Bibles together to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Beginning at verse 17. I've titled this message, Bountiful Blessings. Oh, if we could just catch a glimpse of how bountifully God has blessed us, we'd never be worried. We'd never be filled with unbelief. We'd never be disquieted. We'd never be concerned about anything if we could just believe how much bountifully God has blessed us. I hope that we can leave this place this morning with a little better understanding and a little more faith as to how God's blessed us. That's some of those things that bother us so much would not be such an issue. Look at verse 17. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 5, says, what more could have been done to my vineyard than I have done in it? What more could be done in my vineyard than I have done in it? I have blessed her bountifully. I have sent my prophet to Egypt to deliver them from the taskmasters of sin and the law. And I have brought them out so that not a hoof, the scripture says, was left behind. What a bountiful blessing that the Lord would send one like Moses to bring his people out of the bondage of sin. Lord, deal bountifully with me. He has dealt bountifully with us. Our hope is that he will reveal to us. Look at the next verse. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. That, Lord, that's my need. Not that you bless me more, but that you open my eyes that I might see how much you have blessed me. That's faith, isn't it? Lord, you divided the Red Sea. You brought me through. You drowned the enemy. Pharaoh and his army were drowned in the depths of the Red Sea. Lord, you've defeated Satan on Calvary's cross. And you've miraculously opened up the way of faith that I might be delivered. Lord, you provided all during that time in the wilderness. And that's where we are right now. We're in the wilderness. You provided manna from heaven every day. Isn't that what the scripture admonishes us? Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And the Lord told those Pharisees, he said, Moses did not give you that manna. My Father gave you that manna. I am the bread of life which has come down from heaven. Just as bread is a sustenance for our physical being, so the Lord Jesus Christ is the sustenance for our souls. What a bountiful blessing. He said, I'm not far from you. I'm near unto you. The bread's there, isn't it? And it's there every day. Whenever we need, whenever our souls get hungry, the Lord Jesus is always, always there. And sometimes we think, well, I'll just gather up enough bread so I won't have to go back to the table tomorrow. And like those Israelites, we wake up to another bountiful blessing. It is a bountiful blessing that the Lord would put worms in yesterday's bread so that we not feed off of it, but that we come to him every day for a fresh loaf of bread. Lord, open thou mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things from thy law, and how thou hast blessed me bountifully. Beyond, that word bountifully means beyond measure. Beyond comprehension, beyond understanding. That's how we've been blessed, brethren. The Lord gave us the law at Mount Sinai and revealed to us His glory. What a bountiful blessing that is. As you said, Michael, the law is not our rule of life. Christ is our rule of life. But the law reveals to us the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're going to stand in His presence, He's going to have to hide us in a rock, just like He did for Moses, didn't He? What a bountiful blessing that the Lord would reveal to us His glory. That He would lead us every day through this wilderness with a cloud by day to shade us from the heat of the sun, and a pillar of fire by night in order to give us light in the darkness. And both of those represent the bread was Christ, the mountain was Christ, the rock on the mountain was Christ, the water that, you remember the rock that followed them through the wilderness? And Moses struck that rock with a rod of the law, and what came out of that rock? Water. If any man thirst, let him come unto me, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He's the river of water, clear as crystal, that John saw in Revelation flowing from the throne of God and from the Lamb. Christ is that water. He's the inexhaustible source of living water that comes from the well. Oh, how oftentimes we forget the bountiful blessing that we have in Christ, and we try to satisfy our needs by drinking from broken cisterns. And we drink polluted water, don't we? And all polluted water will do will make you sick. Oh, this water's fresh. And the Lord told that woman at the well, if you knew who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, you would ask of him, and he would give you living water. Oh, if we just knew who Christ was, we would be led by His Spirit to ask it of Him. And we'd quit trying to satisfy our needs. Lord, open thou mine eyes. All these things are revealed to us in His law, in His word, in His precepts, in His scriptures. All these things are revealed. The bountiful blessings of God. And the Lord told the children of Israel, I gave you cities that you did not build. We didn't build this city of God. Upon this rock, I will build my church. This is the city of God. This is the new Jerusalem. What a blessing. What a bountiful blessing that God has knit our hearts together in the love of Christ and given us a common faith. You know, we've been talking a lot about forgiveness this morning. The evidence of forgiveness is our ability to forgive. Be ye tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven thee. What a blessing it is to not have the bondage of resentment and hatred in our heart toward anybody. A child of God is able to let things go. They're able to forgive. Why? Not because they're looking at that. No, you need to forgive. You've been wronged and you need to forgive. Don't look at the wrong. Don't look at that person. Look at how much God has forgiven you, and the rest of it will just come. Forgiveness is the result of being forgiven. Isn't that true? That's just the way it works. You remember in Matthew chapter 18 when the Lord told that story about the king who had a servant who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, talent was a wedge of gold. I calculated that. It's about $170 million. Okay, so this servant owed his master $170 million. If you owed somebody that, what would you be able to do? Nothing. Nothing. And the servant begged with the master to forgive him, and the master, or to give him time, and he would pay it. And the master said, I forgive you. He wiped the slate clean. He forgave him. You don't owe me anything. Zero balance. And then that servant found a servant of his that owed him 100 pence, which is about $200. $200 versus $170 million. And servant number two refused to, servant number one refused to forgive servant number two. And the master heard about it. And they took servant number two and put him in prison until he paid every red cent. Turn with me to that passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 18. I want you to see the end of this story. Matthew chapter 18. Look at verse 32. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wretched servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also to you, if from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Not just a matter of saying, well, I forgive you. It's from the heart. What is it that moves the heart to be willing to forgive? It's our forgiveness. It's our forgiveness. What a bountiful blessing to not be tormented by the prison guards all of our lives with the resentment of an unforgiving spirit. The child of God, when he looks at how much God's forgiven him, you know, that's just a natural result of that, isn't it? Yeah. Lord, you've blessed me bountifully. You've forgiven me of my sin. The $170 million doesn't begin to touch what I owe God. But he's put it all away. By the sacrifice of Christ, he satisfied his divine justice. He's buried my sins in the depths of the sea. He remembers them no more. Forgiven. I gave you cities that you did not build. You didn't build this. This is my church. I will build it. God builds it. God calls out his elect, as many as should be saved, believed. And to as many as were ordained to eternal life, believed. God calls his sheep together. We can't persuade men. We tell them the truth. We declare the message outwardly, but it's only the Spirit of God that can make that effectual to the heart and grow his church and make us to be living stones. What a bountiful blessing. The world doesn't know anything about this. They don't know anything about grace. They don't know anything about forgiveness. They don't know anything about love. They don't know anything about hope. Lord, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things from thy law. For Lord, surely thou hast bountifully blessed me beyond my comprehension, beyond my understanding. Lord, would you reveal that to me? If God shows us what he's done to bless us, we'd never be downtrodden again. We'd never be anxious about anything. If we could rest in the blessings that he's given us. I gave you crops, the Lord said, that you did not plant when the children of Israel came into the promised land. The vineyards and the plants and the farms were already producing fruit. They didn't have to plow the ground and plant the seed. I gave you crops that you did not plant. Lord, we didn't do anything to give to make this bread available to us. Lord, you gave it to us.
And the Lord went on to say, and the inhabitants of the land, I've made them to be your servants. The child of God who has some understanding of the bountiful blessing that he has in knowing God and knowing forgiveness and knowing Christ and having the hope of salvation doesn't have to be intimidated by anybody. Anybody. We know the truth. Now, that doesn't mean that we have a condescending spirit toward anybody. But we're not going to be intimidated. We don't have to be. We know the truth. The inhabitants of the land shall be subject unto thee. That's, what deliverance, what blessing. Lord, deal bountifully with thy servant. Show me the bountiful blessings that you fulfilled in fulfilling the law. Yes, Michael, the Lord Jesus Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. He said, I did not come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill it. And not one jot or tittle will be taken away from the law until all the law is fulfilled. And he fulfilled it. He established righteousness. That's what Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 8 when he said at the beginning of Romans chapter 8, there is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. The law can't condemn me. The law can't stand in judgment of me. The law's already been fulfilled. What a bountiful blessing. Lord, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. What a blessing. The people of the world, the unbeliever doesn't know anything about this blessing. The blessing of faith, to believe on Christ. What have I done to achieve that? To have the eyes of my understanding opened. To rest all the hope of my salvation on the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone asked me about baptism. You know, there's nothing more you have to achieve in order to earn the right to be baptized. I think about those believers on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. 3,000 of them heard the gospel for the very first time and they believed it and they were baptized. All 3,000 of them that one day. The Ethiopian eunuch, what doth hinder me to be baptized? If thou believest, that's the only qualification. To believe on Christ is the qualification for baptism, isn't it? To have that faith to say, Lord, I don't know much, but I know Christ is everything. And without him, I have no life. Look at verse 1 again. Deal bountifully, or in the context of all this scripture, Lord, show me the bountifulness of thy blessings that I may live. Has God shown you that Christ has satisfied the law? That he's fulfilled divine justice? That everything God requires for the payment for sin was satisfied in Christ? That God is satisfied with Christ? You see, faith is just being satisfied with what God's satisfied with. The bountiful blessing to say yes. Yes. He's opened the eyes of my understanding. He's caused me to believe on Christ as my life. And he's caused me to keep his word. Do you see that in verse 17? Lord, if you show me the bountiful blessings of grace, then I will have kept thy word. You see, believing on Christ is keeping the whole word of God. That's what baptism is. It's a public profession of your union with Christ. What you're saying in baptism is that when Christ lived his life of perfect obedience, I was in him. The only hope that I have
of being obedient before God and fulfilling the law of God is to be found in him. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that righteousness which is by the faith and faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he died on Calvary's cross, I was crucified with him. When he was raised from the dead, I was raised with him. That's what Paul meant when he said, oh Lord, I've not yet fully apprehended that which has apprehended me. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I press towards the prize for the mark. Press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling. Christ is that I might know the fellowship of his suffering. That when he suffered on Calvary's cross, I suffered on Calvary's cross. That I might know the power of his resurrection. When he raised from the dead, I was raised. What a bountiful blessing for God to show you that and make you to believe that. We don't have classes and discipleship groups and things you have to do or achieve in order to. No. Lord, thou hast opened the eyes of my understanding. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. This is wondrous. It's wondrous. Where the Lord, what world doesn't have anything to offer? This is the only thing that's full of wonder. We use that word loosely a lot, don't we? When we say, oh, that was wonderful. And yet, we don't really mean that it was so full of wonder that it was beyond comprehension. But that's what the word wonderful means. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things from thy law. Lord, the bountiful blessings of grace. That the Lord would keep his people, that he would bless us with his presence, causing us to not be able to fall away. God's people can't quit believing. They just can't. Why? Because he has bountifully blessed us. There's no way that faith, what he that began a good work in you will fulfill it to the day of his coming. He's not going to let one of his sheep go. Now, God's people are not going to stop believing. What a bountiful blessing. If it was left up to us, we would quit believing, wouldn't we? You see that in your heart every day of your life, don't you? How's that hymn go? The proneness to wander. Lord, I'm prone to wander. I'm prone to leave the God I love. Lord, if you don't restrain me, keep me from falling. And every day we grow in grace, we become more and more aware of how dependent we are on him to keep us, aren't we? What a bountiful blessing. Lord, you've blessed us bountifully that we might live and keep thy word. You've opened the eyes of our understanding that we have behold wondrous things from. Where do we learn all these things? We learn them from Scripture, don't we? We learn them from the Word of God. Which is a bountiful blessing in itself, isn't it? That God has given to us. You know what? The politicians don't have any answers to our problems. You know, there's a lot of problems in this world, but it's like I said the first hour. The problem that you and I have is the same problem the world has. It's called sin. And they've got no answer for that. They're putting band-aids on a terminal illness. And they don't know it. We're getting to the heart of the problem, aren't we? We have one who's put away our sin. We're not just trying to patch up, you know, the social ills of and the medical problems and the political issues and the financial problems of the world. That's all they can do. That's all they can do is try to fix temporal things. And that which is temporal is passing away. And that which is eternal. Oh, there's the bountiful blessing.
Or thou hast blessed me bountifully that I might live, and thou hast opened the eyes of my understanding that I might behold these bountiful blessings from thy word. What a blessing. If the Lord keeps our eyes fixed on Christ. That's what Paul was talking about in Colossians chapter. Turn with me to that passage of scripture. Colossians. Chapter 3. Here's the bountiful blessing. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. How do we know what's above? The things of the earth we can see with our natural eyes, but the things that are above requires the eye of faith, requires the word of God. We have the bountiful blessing of the revelation of the gospel given to us in the word of God. Otherwise, we'd be doing what the rest of the world's doing, setting our affection on things of the earth. What a bountiful blessing that God has provided for us a place of worship. He's provided for us a place where we can hear the gospel, where we can fellowship with God's people around the gospel, where we can rejoice together in the gospel. The world doesn't know anything about this. Has the Lord opened your eyes that you might behold the wondrous things of His word? These things are wondrous. Bound our hearts together in the love of Christ. Go back with me to our text. Open thou mine eyes. Lord, that word open means to reveal or uncover. Lord, you're going to have to reveal your glory to me. You're going to have to uncover for me the truth. I don't have the natural ability to see these things. When blind Bartimaeus came to the Lord, and the Lord asked him, "What would you have me to do for you, Bartimaeus?" "Oh, Lord, that I might see." And even now that we do see some, we look through a glass darkly now, don't we? It's very vague what we see. But then, face to face. Then we shall see Him as He is and be made like Him. And so the believer is constantly saying, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Lord, help me." And the wondrous thing in the law of God is Christ. I had believers say to me many times, "Yeah, I see that so clearly now, but I never would have seen it had you not pointed it out to me." What a bountiful blessing. What a bountiful blessing that God's called a man just like you. No different. Just as sinful, just as dependent, just as troubled about things of this world. And He's revealed to him how the glory of the gospel in His word. And this is the means by which the Lord opens out our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of His law. We're not esteeming a man, but for His work's sake, for His work's sake. I need that work. I need someone to show me Christ in the scriptures. I need someone to point out the wondrous things of God's law. Because this is the means by which God opens my eyes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. Lord, what a bountiful blessing that you've provided for your church. What that Ethiopian eunuch say when Philip asked him, "Understandest what thou readest?" And most self-righteous religionists would have said very quickly, "Look at you. Look at the way you're dressed. I mean, you're a Bedouin out here in the desert. You know, you probably had rags for clothes and sandals." And here he was, the Ethiopian eunuch, sitting on a chariot with his entourage. And the Ethiopian, under natural conditions, would have said, "Of course I understand what I'm reading. And if I didn't, you're sure not going to teach me." And that's not what he said, is it? How shall I, except a man should guide me? Come up here, tell me. Was the prophet talking of himself? Was he speaking of another? And beginning in that very scripture, he preached unto him Jesus. He showed him Christ from the scriptures. Lord, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things. The wonder of Christ, the glory of Christ, the finished work of Christ, the person of Christ from thy law. The Lord opens the understanding of our eyes. We'll see ourselves as sinners in need of a Savior. We have no idea of how horrible our sin really is. But that's not what it means to be a sinner. What it means to be a sinner doesn't mean that you see all your sin. You wouldn't be able to go out in public if God showed you all your sin. Neither would I. We'd be so ashamed, we'd lock ourselves. You're talking about what are they calling this? This thing we're having with a pandemic where everybody's got to stay home, locked down, and shut. Yeah, you'd be that way the rest of your life. You'd stay in your room. You'd never come out in public if God showed you your sin for what it really was. And it's a wondrous thing. And it's a bountiful blessing that God doesn't. So what is it to be made a sinner? Well, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness. Well, what's a confess mean? I got to make a list of all my known sins and confess them to God. No, that word confess means to speak the same thing. It just means to take sides with God against yourself. It means to agree with God that everything about you is sinful. Though I don't understand the depths of it, I can't comprehend the horror of it, Lord, I know that there's nothing in me like him. And if that's righteousness, then everything about me is sinful. That's what it is to confess your sin. And that's a bountiful blessing when God opens your eyes and enables you to see wondrous things from his law. That's what he did for Job. When Job said, behold, I am vile. I never saw this before. When Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? When Isaiah said, woe is me, I'm undone. When Daniel saw the Lord Jesus Christ and he said, my comeliness, my beauty, and my strength was turned into corruption when I saw him. You see, we only see ourselves when we see the wondrous things of Christ. And we just come to this simple conclusion. There's nothing in me like him. And if that's righteousness, and if that's holiness, that's what I've got to have. I've got to have him to stand in my stead because I don't have any of that in me. None of it. Oh, Lord, how you bountifully blessed us. The world's not hearing this message. The talking heads on TV aren't telling you this message. The false prophets aren't declaring this message. It's all about what you do. But the wondrous things of God's law is what he's done, isn't it? It's the finished, accomplished work of Christ. Lord, open thou mine eyes to see the glory of his person, to believe that God is satisfied with Christ, that he's fulfilled the law, that he's put away my sin, he's satisfied divine justice. Wondrous things. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye all of his wondrous works. You know, we enjoy each other's company under
any circumstances. We can talk about lots of things in this world, but fellowship, spiritual fellowship, becomes so sweet when we're able to share our common faith in Christ and rejoice in what we've heard about Christ. Isn't that true? Who can know the mind of the Lord? You have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. If God's opened the eyes of understanding. Look back with me to our text. I want to deal with one other point here in this text. Verse 19. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandment from me. We're pilgrims in this world. And that's a wondrous thing. This world is not our home. We're strangers in a foreign land. We look for a city whose builder and foundation is God. We have our affection set on heavenly things. I can remember in religion someone saying, you know, that person's so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. Now, I've met religious fanatics who use their fanaticism as an excuse for not being responsible. And that statement might be true of them, except they don't have their heart in heaven. They've got their heart on something. They're just using religion to avoid personal responsibility. But here's the truth, brethren. The more heavenly minded you are, the more earthly good you're going to be. You cannot be too heavenly minded. Not truly. You cannot have your affection set too firmly in the heavens. You cannot see yourself too much as a pilgrim in this world. This is the wondrous blessings of grace when God opens the eyes of your understanding and causes you to see what this world is and where it's going. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of this earth. This one thing have I desired of the Lord, and this one thing that I'll seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever and behold his glory. Oh, Lord. Deal bountifully with thy servant. Lord, I'm but a servant. Show me the bountiful blessings as you open the eyes of my understanding and reveal to me the wonder of Christ from thy law and cause me to see, Lord, this world's not my home. Look at, I am a stranger in the earth. I'm a stranger. Hide not thy commandments from me. Lord, show me. Every time we come together, brethren, let me encourage you. Pray for me. I pray for you. Pray for me. That God will meet with us. And that he will reveal Christ to us every time we come together. That's what this is a prayer for. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all time. Blessed. Somebody said, well, I thought we were to rejoice. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Only the believer understands this. We've got two natures. We're rejoicing and mourning at the same time. You say, well, are we a sinner or a saint? Yes. Yes. Only sinners are saints. And only saints are sinners. Lord, I live every day with this body of death. Who shall deliver me
thanks be to God, through Christ Jesus I am free. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, not looking to fleshly things, but after the Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean that you're walking with some sort of tingling feeling going on all the time. It means that you're looking for the wondrous things that God has revealed, the glorious blessings, the bountiful blessings that He has revealed about Christ from His Word. In other words, you're looking through the eyes of faith at someone the world cannot see. What a blessing. Our merciful Heavenly Father, we need for You to speak truth to our hearts, peace to our hearts. Reveal to us the glory of Thy dear Son. Father, speak volumes more to our souls than we're able to hear with our ear. Lord, we know that the hearing ear and the seeing eye are both from Thee. Grant it unto us by Thy grace. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. 168. Let's stand together. 168.
We'll sing this hymn a cappella. Let's stand. Lord, I hear of showers of blessing Thou art scattering full and free. Showers the thirsty land refreshing, let some drops now fall on me. Even me, let Thy blessing fall on me. Pass me not, O tender Savior, let me love and cling to Thee. I am longing for Thy favor, whilst Thou art calling, O call me. Even me, let Thy blessing fall on me. Pass me not, O mighty Spirit, Thou canst make the blind to see. Witnesser of Jesus' merit, speak the word of power to me. Even me, let Thy blessing fall on me. Love of God so pure and changeless, blood of Christ so rich and free, grace of God so strong and boundless, magnify them all in me. Even me, let Thy blessing fall on me. Pass me not, Thy lost one bringing, bind my heart, O Lord, to Thee. While the streams of life are springing, blessing others, O bless me. Even me, let Thy blessing fall on me.